Well, here we are at the end of November and the first Sunday of Advent already. Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas, and since Christmas is on a Sunday this year, this is the earliest that Advent ever starts. In some years, we use worship resources provided by the Mennonite Church, and that's the case this year. And so each Sunday, there is a theme and some suggested scriptures. And the focus statement for today is, God's peace is at hand. Come, walk in the ways of God's heart. And one of the scriptures for today is Isaiah 2:2-5, and I'd like to read that. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between nations, and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is a picture of a mountain where God is present and people go there to learn from God and to learn God's ways. And what they learn is the way of peace. And then they put it into practice. They beat their swords into plowshares. And so instead of being destructive, they turn to being productive. Instead of fighting, they're growing crops. Now, when I saw this text and the theme for today, I thought, well, this is what I preached about 5 weeks ago. It was Peace Sunday, and we looked at the Sermon on the Mount and what it had to say about peace. And the Sermon on the Mount is introduced in Matthew with these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And I think this is the vision that Isaiah had of God on a mountain, people coming to learn his ways, and they learn the ways of peace. And 5 weeks ago, we looked at the many ways that Jesus addressed the subject of peace in the Sermon on the Mount, both inner peace and a peace in our relationships with others. So that sermon would have fit today, but rather than copping out and repeating that one, I chose to focus on something I barely touched on last time, because there are many facets to the subject of peace. So today I'd like to look at the connection between fear and peace. Now, it almost goes without saying that any time I'm afraid, I lose my sense of peace. Fear is an enemy of peace. And so I want to look at some ways that that plays out and some ways to calm our fears. Now, being a man, I don't like to admit that sometimes I'm afraid. And so I may use other words, like worried or anxious. But even worry is a kind of fear. Worry is the fear that something bad might happen. But there's a whole spectrum of words for fear. On the milder side, there are things like concern or apprehension or nervousness. And then on the more extreme end of the spectrum of fear is things like fright, dread, terror, or panic. But fear in whatever form is not just a matter of losing inner peace. Our fears can cause us to act in ways that destroy the peace around us. One example is the fear in our country of another terrorist attack. Since 9/11, there have been a number of lesser attacks or attempts at attacks, and it is a real threat and causes fear. One of the ways our government has chosen to respond to this threat and to try to allay our fears is by using drone strikes against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or ISIS, especially in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But the problem with drones is that sometimes mistakes are made. Sometimes a wedding party or a funeral has been hit, where the target is right, but innocent people nearby are injured or killed. These drones circle high overhead for hours at a time, day or night. Sometimes there are multiple drones. People usually can't see them, but they can hear this kind of a buzzing sound, so they know they're there. And they're terrorized, knowing that death could rain down at any minute. And so when they hear the drones, sometimes children are afraid to go to school, or families may fear to go to a wedding or a funeral, or even to the market or to their fields, fearing that something they do might be mistaken. Now, I don't think the Jesus I know and serve wants others to be killed or terrorized so that my sense of fear can be ratcheted down a notch or two. And so I say, not in my name. I think Jesus has other solutions for our fear than inflicting fear and terror on others. Many times in the Bible, various people are told, do not fear or do not be afraid. But those words by themselves are not enough. I need a reason why I shouldn't be afraid, because there are real threats and dangers. And fortunately, often in the Bible, a reason is given why we shouldn't be afraid. Suppose I'm taking a walk in my neighborhood, and suddenly a big dog comes barking and running straight at me. My reaction? Fear. Now, I like dogs, but I know that not all dogs like me, and some are dangerous. But as the dog reaches me, the owner appears on the front porch and yells, "Don't be afraid, he's friendly." Now, hearing those words, "he's friendly," does more to allay my fears than just, oh, you know, don't be afraid. And in that sense, I think in the Bible, when either God or Jesus says, don't be afraid, often a reason is given because we need more than just those words, don't be afraid. And one of the most common reasons given is that God is with us. For example, God speaking through Isaiah in 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That verse was one that I looked to quite often a few years ago when there was a lot of uncertainty in my own life about our future and my job situation. But God says, "Do not fear, I am with you," and I can attest that that is very true. Of course, we tend to think that God should act quickly and kind of resolve or take away whatever is causing our fear, whatever threat there might be. But notice here in Isaiah 41, God says, doesn't say, "I'll take it away." He says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you." And so God gives us strength. God gives us help to deal with whatever we're facing. Or consider what Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 say, a similar thing where it says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea." And notice again here, the reason we're not to fear is that God is ever-present, always with us to help us. And so sometimes that help means protection. In Psalm 91, it speaks of God as a refuge, as a fortress, as a shield, as an embankment, and then also uses the image of finding protection under God's wing. Let me read those verses. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the hunter's snare and from the deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and embankment. You will not fear the terror of night or the arrow that flies by day, nor the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." And so here it talks about God as our protection. And God fights for us. Moses told Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you." And previously they had seen that firsthand. God fought for them when they crossed the Red Sea. God dealt with Pharaoh and his army. Of course, some people think that that's how God wanted to continue to work with Israel all the way into the Promised Land, that God would fight their battles for them, that people just needed to trust him. But if you know the story, you know that because of disobedience and a lack of faith, they ended up having to fight their own battles and experience the many casualties that came with that. But God is our protection. God will fight for us. And we don't need to fear because God will also provide for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, do not fear, or he actually says, do not worry, but worry, remember, is the kind of fear. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And the reason Jesus gives for not worrying is that God cares for us, just like he cares for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and the grasses. God will provide for us like he provides for them. So over and over in the Bible, it says God says, you know, don't be afraid because I am with you and will help you. Moses said to Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in the familiar Psalm 23, where David talks about the Lord as his shepherd, and in the middle of the psalm, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then he says, why? Because thou art with me. God is with us. And at Christmas time, as we are preparing to celebrate Christmas again, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is called Emmanuel. And as you know, that name means God with us. In Jesus, God is with us. And even right before he ascended back into heaven, Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so Jesus is still present with us. He's present through his Spirit. Pastor Lind has preached a series of messages on the Holy Spirit. I think it's helpful to remember that the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Some people seem to be a little afraid of the Spirit. There's no reason to be afraid of the Holy Spirit unless you're also afraid of Jesus. But knowing how deeply Jesus loves us should calm any of those fears. As 1 John says, perfect love casts out fear. And Romans 8 assures us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. One translation says it this way, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I've quoted a fair bit of scripture here this morning, and there's even more similar verses I could quote, but I wanted you to hear how over and over again, when the Bible says that we should not fear, it's because God is with us to help us, to protect us, and to provide for us. Or that we should not fear because God loves us deeply. And so because of that, we can have peace even when facing threats or trouble or an uncertain tomorrow. In John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And so we are assured that our lives are in his hands, and they are good hands. Now, fear is a natural response to any kind of a threat or danger, and fear actually helps to protect us. I remember when our daughter Emily was young and first learned to ride her bike, there was a fairly steep hill near our house, and I remember her riding her bike down that hill, full speed ahead, no fear. Well, there was some fear here, but not in her. And then a year or two later, I noticed her going down that same hill, but this time she had a little bit more caution. Apparently, somehow she had developed what we would call a healthy fear, the kind of fear that keeps us safe. And so fear can be a good thing, but it can also keep us from doing new things or taking good risks. You know, most people have a fear of speaking in front of a group of people. And I still have some of that fear myself, even though I've done it many times. You know, I appreciated the worship service the youth did several weeks ago. And for those of you who are here, I'm sure that at least some of you were a bit nervous about speaking in front of this church. But I'm glad that you did it anyway. Because of that, we were all blessed, and hopefully you gained some confidence. Because I think sometimes our fears are diminished when we act in spite of them and discover that either our fears were unfounded or at least they weren't worth keeping us from taking a risk. You know, our tagline as a church is living our faith, but fear can keep us from doing that. How many times has fear kept me from reaching out to a stranger? How many times has fear kept me from speaking up when I should have? How many times has fear kept me from giving more generously? You know, fear can keep us from truly living our faith. I recently heard one of my fellow bishops, Steve Weaver, who incidentally is now our assistant conference moderator, assistant to Keith Weaver. He told about a recent conversation he had with a church member after a worship service, and this man was expressing fears about Muslim immigrants coming into this country and taking over. And this man said he was afraid that his grandchildren might have to live under Sharia law. And Steve responded to this man by saying, "Are you aware that our church," and by our church he meant Eastern Mennonite Missions, our mission agency, "our church sends people to live in countries where there is Sharia law because we believe that Jesus Christ and his gospel is stronger than any government or belief system." You know, how often are we fearful because we have so little faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that Jesus has won the victory over all other powers. And in the end, he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the outcome of history is already decided. The book of Revelation shows us that there can be trouble and tribulation along the way, but ultimately, we are safe when we are on Jesus' side. And I think that should give us some peace as we live in this troubled world. John Wesley was a traveling evangelist, one of the founders of the Methodist Church. And Wesley says that whenever he noticed himself becoming fearful, he would stop and pray a prayer of praise, thanking God that he is still on his throne and still in control. And he said just that reminder would help to ease whatever fear was rising in him. Now, I don't know what fears you may be facing today, but I hope you find some peace and reassurance in that promise that God is with you, to help you, to strengthen you, to protect you, and to provide for you. And so we're safe in God's love, and nothing can separate us from that love. Now, as important as it is to trust God in every situation, I also want to point out this morning that there are some fears or traumas or anxiety that benefit greatly from professional or medical help. You know, just like some depression can be caused by chemical imbalances in the brain and can be helped by medication, the same is true of anxiety, at least some anxiety. A pervasive anxiety may be alleviated through counseling or medication or a combination of both. And I think that's also true of various phobias or trauma that interfere with life. I think a good signal that it may be time to seek outside help is when the anxiety or fear is interfering with the quality of your life or making everyday life hard to cope or keeps bringing up pain or trauma from the past that is relived. Most of us would not say to someone who is discovered to have cancer, just trust God. I mean, trusting God is important, but also seek medical help. And the same is true for someone experiencing post-traumatic stress or a pervasive anxiety. Trust God, yes, but God can work through professionals to bring you a greater understanding of yourself into a place of greater peace. And so I didn't want to end this message without adding those words for those whose fears may be what we might say are a bit out of the ordinary. But for all of us, I think we live in a world that is awash in fear. Before the recent election, over half of Americans said the election was causing them significant stress. And many of the political ads used fear of what would happen if the other person was elected. And since the election, some fears have been relieved and others, I'm sure, have been heightened. And it's been shown that people who consume a lot of news, watch a lot of news, or maybe you get it online, that the more news you consume, the more fearful you tend to be. That's probably because most of the stories tend to be about bad things. And it's not just the news, but also some advertisers use fear. Years ago, when Listerine began advertising their product as a cure for bad breath, they're using the fear that you might be offending someone without realizing it. And so through their ad campaign, their sales rose from $115,000 to $8 million in 7 years. But even some Christian preachers on TV and radio preach a lot of fear, and they position themselves as a defender against those threats. The pastor Lynn reminded us last week that God's perfect love casts out fear, and so I don't think we should be preaching a lot of fear. But let me just add this point. Yeah, what if your love or concern for others actually contributes to fear? Well, let me give you a couple examples of what I mean by that. What about if your love for a relative who is battling an addiction causes you to fear for their well-being? Or what if your concern for a neighbor who's in an abusive relationship causes you to fear for their safety? Or maybe your concern for Syrian refugees who no one wants to take in causes you to fear for their future. Is love supposed to cast out that fear when it's actually, in a sense, part of the cause? Well, I don't think the verse that says perfect love casts out fear was meant to address those kind of situations. I think it was meant to address more, you know, being afraid of God and not fully trusting God's love or even other persons in our lives who would love us. And so I don't think it was addressing those kind of situations where we're fearful for what might happen to someone else. Nevertheless, I think knowing that God loves that person that we're concerned about more than we love them ourselves may help us to entrust them to God's care and maybe have a little less fear. Or maybe our fear should move us to act if there's something that we can actually do to help. I think the bottom line is this. Some fear is normal and some is good. But there are many dangers and threats in this world, and there are many reasons to be concerned. But I don't think God intends for us to be constantly in fear or overwhelmed by it. We can trust in God's love and goodness, and God is always with us to help, to protect, and to provide for us. God wants us to have a spirit of peace rather than a spirit of fear. So let's not allow fear to cause us to act in ways that might destroy peace. Let's not allow fears to keep us from living our faith. And so I'd like to close with the words of Jesus from John 14:27, where Jesus says, "Peace is what I leave you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give as the world does. Do not be worried and upset, and do not be afraid." Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we live in a difficult and troubled world. And there are many things that cause us fear and concern. But help us to know that you are with us, that you will help us. Help us to know when we should act and when we should simply trust you more. And help us to trust in your love and to receive your peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.